the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. After his baptism, Jesus, full of Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. How appropriate is that on this Sunday of our annual meeting, the gospel lesson we are called to reflect on is the one that talks about Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. On the first day of Lent, the beginning of a period of self-examination, penitence, and repentance, the gospel lesson is always an account of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness from one of the gospels. And so for most of us, it is a familiar narrative, and we may have heard many a sermon on this lesson. Whether or not these temptations occurred in the manner in which they are portrayed in the Gospels, it's not as important as seeing them as the archetypes of temptations we humans face in the wilderness of our lives, namely our want of self-preservation, our desire for power and control over others, and our desire for security. These temptations are our daily fare. We may experience them differently from the way Jesus did. What I would like us to focus our attention today is not just the temptations, but also the setting in which these temptations take place. Our reading tells us that the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness, dripping wet from the baptism in the muddy waters of Jordan. The Spirit brought Jesus, who was filled with the Holy Spirit, directly into the wilderness, a place of great vulnerability, to be tested. Having been affirmed of his identity as the beloved Son of God at the baptism, now Jesus is brought to the wilderness of vulnerability, of hunger, powerlessness, and insecurity to help Jesus find his true grit and the clarity of his mission, his vocation ahead. Now, we know a thing or two about what it means to be in the wilderness, don't we? Is there anyone here who hasn't had a wilderness experience in your life? We all have been there at one time or another. I know I have been there, not just once or twice, but many times. With no job, no money in the bank, and piles of bills to pay, including mortgage. And when you don't know how you're going to feed your children when they come home from school, doesn't that sound like a wilderness experience? We know how it feels like when you are in the waiting room while your loved one is undergoing a major surgery. And doesn't it feel like being in the wilderness? Or when your loved one is taken from you suddenly, even after a prolonged illness and cessation of life is expected, you would still feel devastated to know that you are now alone and must go through this life by yourself, on your own. Wilderness comes to us in many different ways, in many different shapes. We know we are in one when we look around for what we normally count on to save our life and come up empty. No food, no earthly power, and no special protection. Just a Bible with verses that says, "Come unto me, those who are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Times like these, when we feel like we are at the rock bottom of our wilderness, or times when we want to scream at the top of our lungs, like the Son of God from the cross, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" are the times when we are tested to find out our true grit of our faith and our clarity of our vocation. There is much wisdom to gain in experiencing the wilderness in our lives. Finding value in being vulnerable and admitting your vulnerability is something that is lost in our popular culture. This is so even in some of our own Christian tradition, as they trumpet success as a sign of God's blessing, especially among those who preach the prosperity gospel. Our tradition of Christianity, our church, sees value in subjecting ourselves to certain disciplines, especially during Lent, such as prayer, fasting, and self-denial, reading and meditating on God's holy word. This is counter to our tendency to ditch our faithfulness for the furry warmth of the herd. Come to mind, our church stands on being faithful to God's embracing love for all people, regardless of their sexual orientation, by paying the price of being sanctioned out from the Anglican Communion. This sanction of our church by the Anglican Communion for the next 3 years is our wilderness experience, which will reveal our grit of being faithful to God and the clarity of our vocation. On this day of our annual meeting of our church, I want us to take a look at how are we as a church being tested in the crucible of wilderness. The place of our ministry is our wilderness. We are called or led into this place by the Spirit of God to be a place of refuge, a place of shelter, a sanctuary, to be an oasis, so to speak, to our members and to our neighbors who are challenged in many different ways. St. Peter's is called to be like a base camp to our members in serving us in our need to worship weekly, to grow spiritually, to form our faith, to learn to serve each other in the church and to serve people outside the church. I believe we are doing a good job at it. Our annual report, which you all got via email a couple of days ago, really goes into the details of our ministries and what we have been able to achieve so far. However, this is not the time for us to sit on our laurels and congratulate ourselves. Rather, we go further and further as the Spirit continues to lead us forward into God's ministry in the wilderness. While mainline churches are experiencing declining membership and church attendance, our church is growing. More families, young and old, are joining us. We have seen an exponential growth in the number of families with young children this past year. Jan Weir and family ministry team is now thinking about adding a new godly play class to accommodate the increasing number of children. Children's Chapel is also experiencing increasing number of little ones into their roles. Our youth group, whose number has the potential to grow into a larger group, is already finding difficulty to meet in a dedicated place. Again, on Sunday mornings, currently it is difficult to find a space for a new group to hold a meeting. We are space challenged. In the coming year, I would like us to take on the challenge of becoming more efficient and turn some of our unusable areas into usable space, and install an elevator so that all the areas of our church can become more universally accessible. While we can be proud of the fact that St. Peter's have a large footprint in the community, I would like us to have our footprint grow even larger. The pantry ministry team, headed by Gary, Doreen, and Deacon Joe, is always exploring ways to make food more and more accessible to those who need assistance to supplement their need for food. Deacon Dennis's leadership and initiative in working with other community organizations helped Phoenixville realize a long-awaited Code Blue shelter right across from our church. For many in the community, especially the ones who are going through the wilderness of their life, St. Peter's has become truly a place of refuge and oasis. Our Global Mission Committee has helped raise in 2015 about $10,000 for Christusal Foundation, who works closely with the Central American migrants in their resettlement in safe places away from danger. Our committee has also managed to get other churches in our diocese interested in supporting this important work. Friends, God is calling us forward. We are led by the Spirit into the wilderness of people's lives to provide them with the sanctuary they need to do the work of reconciliation. We are in a good place. We are poised for greater ministries to which God is calling us still forward. The question is, are we willing to go forward with God? Are we willing to be partners with God in this ministry He has in mind for this place and in the world? Are we willing to follow Jesus, even to the cross, in the ministry of reconciliation?